Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It is Monday, June 15th, and we just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, and it's time for us to gather again for the Monday Night Tradition, as we do every single Monday evening following that show on MegaPowersRadio.com, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show, here on Mega Powers Radio. Thank you all for tuning in. It was a great show tonight on Raw, depending on who you talk to. Actually, a lot of people probably say it was shit. I had fun. I'm excited to talk about some of the things went down. We had Kevin Owens just destroying Machine Gun Kelly, or what did Heath Slater call him? Shotgun Gordon. We had the return of Brock Lesnar. We saw a lot of things following up from last night's Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Excited to talk about it. We're going to be inviting you to tell us what you thought about it throughout the night as well. We're going to be having the phone lines opening up around 11:30. We got the chat room opened already. Shout outs to all the cool folks who got here early. Ferris419, Chaotic, Wazili, Silent Wind of Doom. And if you are a guest currently listening, register yourself, Blog Talk Radio. Get yourself involved in that chat room there because there's lots of cool cats hanging there, keeping two conversations going on while we're talking here on the air. You can also join us via Skype. We have Twitter at Raw Post Show, the Facebook Mega Maniacs group, lots of ways to get yourself involved. Before we get into the Raw conversation, though, I want to just tell y'all a number of ways that you could support the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. Number one way is by finding us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/MegaPowersRadio. You could be able to support us for as little as $1 per month. We'll help keep this station running and growing and not have to worry about these crazy bills Blog Talk Radio puts our way. And maybe we'll be able to get an actual website, maybe extend the amount of time that we're able to broadcast. Lots of things that we could do with a few extra coins in our pocket. But hey, if you cannot spare those coins, you could still support us in many ways. And number one way after that, join us live every Monday on MegaPowersRadio.com. Or subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or YouTube. And while you're on there, give us a favorable review because that helps us climb the charts and new folks find the show. All right, guys, let's start digging into this evening's Raw. Let me introduce the hosts and ask them what the number one thing they took away from the show was. First off, the host of Wago Rants and Addicted to Anime and Unanimous Decision MMA. Who's excited to see the MMA star return tonight, I'm sure. Mr. Steven Wago. What'd you take away tonight?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. It was Brock Lesnar. As soon as that guy shows up, the entire feel of the show just changes. And babyface Brock Lesnar, I'm all about that. So, fucking loved his t-shirt too, but we'll talk about more of it, I guess, later.
Indeed. Also with us here is the main man of SmartGoutMoment.com, the Smack Talk podcast over there, and Fanboys Anonymous, Mr. Tony Mango. What'd you take away tonight?
I took a lot away from tonight, such as Seth Rollins and Seth Rollins and Seth Rollins. And I can't forget about Seth Rollins. And, you know, there was also this other thing that happened tonight with Seth Rollins. So, Seth Rollins.
That is quite an impressive list. We want to know what all the number of things that you guys took out from this show tonight, if it was Seth Rollins or if it was Seth Rollins or if it may have even been Seth Rollins. Or if it was Brock Lesnar or whatever the heck it was, go ahead and drop it in the chat room. We'd love to hear what the number one thing you guys took away tonight on these long 3-hour shows. It's very important what the one thing that sticks out after all that, because it is a long, long time to watch. It's hard to believe, guys. It's only the second day of the week, and we've already ingested over 6 hours of wrestling.
And if WWE had it the way that they want, it would be a lot more than that.
I don't know if that's an accurate statement. I mean, I'm sure they don't want to produce a 3-hour show each week. It's probably because USA is cutting them a decent check.
Yeah, I'm told it's actually a big headache for them.
No, I'm talking about how we've only digested 6 hours. They want us to watch the network 24/7.
That's true.
Like, we should be watching this Dusty Rhodes thing. We should be checking out Swerved whenever that comes out. You know.
I don't really think they give a shit how much we're watching it, so much as just that we're paying the monthly amount for it. I don't think they really give a rat's ass if we're actually watching it. In fact, they probably prefer if we pay and don't watch, because then that's not a server load they have to worry about.
Yeah. Pretty much.
All right, well, let's dig into what we had happen tonight. At the very start of the show, we had a replay of the tribute video they did to the American Dweeb, Dusty Rhodes, who tragically passed away last week. Very, very touching video going back throughout the career of Dusty Rhodes. I have to say, I imagine Dusty Rhodes is not a guy that many present-day fans probably know too much about, but this guy is wrestling royalty. I mean, he is up there with the biggest names that you could think of in wrestling. When people talk about those Mount Rushmores, depending on what circle you came from, a lot of people may consider Dusty Rhodes a part of that Mount Rushmore for them. So very, very sad to see him go down, getting major media coverage of the likes of which you don't normally see when a wrestler dies. I mean, I can think of like Macho Man and Chris Benoit. Those are the people that got the amount of media coverage that Dusty Rhodes was getting. Very touching video. The only thing I got to say that I think was missing was his sons. How come they weren't on this?
Well, what you got to remember, they might be taking some time to heal up from that. And not everyone deals with death the same way. Mm. Not everyone can be like Chavo Guerrero and fucking wrestle back-to-back shows in tribute. So that might just be the reason. It did seem like it was something missing, but I'm not going to blame him for it.
That's a fair assessment of it. Currently, as we're airing this show right now, they're doing a special over on the WWE Network of his career. I'm sure it's touching. They always do a great job with these specials. Remember they did it with the Ultimate Warrior one as well. I'll check that out eventually. But appreciate all you joining us here live on Mega Powers Radio instead. I mean, you can always go and watch that later if you have things on demand. One other little nitpick I do have with this whole thing, though, is if you watch when they were doing the 10 bell salute at the beginning of Money in the Bank, they zoom right in on Randy Orton and Sheamus standing right next to each other. Nothing?
No, I don't see a problem with it.
I'll give him a pass given the circumstances, but I get what you mean from a kayfabe standpoint.
You couldn't keep them separate on the stage?
I don't think that they were bothering to care. I don't think the audience cares either.
You know what? Orton probably didn't even fucking realize.
Well, that's the problem. You know, that's an old school mentality that I think Dusty would have upheld.
That's true, but what are you going to do?
Okay, well, we have Seth Rollins come out afterwards, reunited with his title belt. He pulls out a list of people he wishes to thank for his accomplishments. And what a surprise. Each single one that he says, Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins. Crowd picks up on this real quick, is booing the shit out of him. Dean Ambrose comes to save the crowd from the continuous thanking of Seth Rollins, chases him out of the ring, plants himself in the middle with a chair, and says he's not leaving until Seth Rollins comes back out and faces him like a man. Seth Rollins goes to the authority for help, says they got it covered, but also give him some bad news, telling him that they're going to be naming his next challenger tonight, but they're not going to lay it on him just yet. They're going to make him wait on that. Sheamus ends up getting sent to the ring to confront Dean Ambrose. That's the authority's big plan. What a surprise. Triple H still backing Sheamus. And we get a match with Sheamus and Dean Ambrose. Sheamus ends up trying to walk out during this match. Orton stops him, sends him back into the ring. It gets rolled up. I don't know if this really counts as a... Yeah, no, this totally counts as a distraction roll-up. Orton and Sheamus do another beat-up right after the match. As I said, this is supposed to be a big heated feud right now. This is something that's supposed to be on people's minds, and yet we saw them just standing next to each other 10 minutes ago. Am I nitpicking?
I think so.
Yeah, it is a little bit nitpicking, but as far as this whole feud goes, the reason I don't care about it isn't because they stood next to each other on stage. It's because I've seen these guys wrestle a million Raw matches before. Neither of those characters are that interesting or doing anything that innovating or new. Why the fuck do I care if Sheamus and Randy Orton, who I've seen for the last god knows how many years, wrestle each other, when I've got Kevin Owens or Adrian Neville or some of these young guys coming up? Unless you can do something new with these guys, I'm not going to give a fuck anymore. They're stale.
It's exactly the same mentality that I have. I would rather watch Blake and Murphy.
Having a mohawk isn't making Sheamus any more interesting.
No, giving him Money in the Bank isn't either. Like, that was a huge mistake, and I think an even bigger mistake in the long run is going to be making him feud with Randy Orton right afterwards, because, okay, if Randy Orton wins, I don't care. It just makes Sheamus look bad. If Sheamus wins, I don't care. It's fucking Randy Orton. He hasn't done shit this year.
Now, hasn't that been the traditional booking of the Money in the Bank holder, though? Just put him in some type of placeholder feuds where, more often than not, they actually lose? Just until, because it's okay, they're going to cash in that Money in the Bank and be champion.
Yes, and it's a very huge problem, because when these guys eventually cash in on Money in the Bank, you want them to have some type of momentum behind them. Let's think back to the first actual cash-in. Edge, he had so much momentum behind him. He just turned heel, he did all that shit with Hardy. He was one of the most, he was probably one of the best villain going at the time. And then when he cashed in on that circumstance, it was fucking epic. But what's going to happen with Sheamus? He's going to have filler match after filler match. And then, sadly, he's probably going to be a champion.
I don't think he's going to win.
He better fucking not.
I'm going to go ahead and say that now. I think he's being set up to lose. Against who? I don't know. Maybe, like, Sheamus thinks he's got the fucking balls to stand up to Brock Lesnar. If Brock Lesnar gets the title, that might be fun to see.
Tell you what, I would rather have feud. Just have him lose the briefcase.
Like he just forgets it on a plane or something?
Yeah, sure.
Actually, the best part about him winning the briefcase is that I know he has to go through the hassle of having that briefcase.
He has to, like, carry it through customs and shit?
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, that's the only positive out of him winning the Money in the Bank. All the hassle he's got.
Now, do you think when people have to carry around the briefcase, they, like, try to make practical use of it? Like, maybe they carry their shave kits or something in it?
I would assume so. Well, Dolph Ziggler, I know, carried his gear in it for a while, except for that one time that he didn't, and he ended up having to wrestle in Jack Swagger stuff.
That was awesome.
So, yeah, it's hard to do now because the briefcase is so fucking gaudy looking. When it was the nice leather briefcase, it was fine. Not much you can do with that thing, though. It's ugly as shit.
Like, there will never be a situation where that's going through, like, the carousel at an airport. And, like, you're not going to think that's yours. Or someone else is going to confuse it for theirs.
So he's going to go reach to pick it up and be like, oh, wait, oh, look at that, we have the same thing.
Because no, they've got seriously, one of the, dude, I've got one up at
WWEshop.com.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go with.
But no, mine's with the contract that's signed by Triple H. Is yours? Oh, wait, you're Sheamus, that's why.
Oh, no, mine's signed by Paul Levesque.
Oh, you know what? If I was Sheamus, I'd totally grab one of those, because, just face it, in a month his case is going to be dented up to fuck.
You think they're going to buy it, though?
You think they're going to, like, put, like, hang beads and stuff off of it?
God.
Anyway, we see Seth Rollins throughout the night backstage. Approached by his former comrades with J&J Security, Kane as well. J&J actually had a fun thing where, like, Jamie Noble is like, well, I think Joey Mercury should be the number one contender because he pinned you in the ring last week. Of course, that would never happen. Kane as well, showing a very aggressive side that we've been missing from Kane. And if he could keep pulling this out a little bit more, I think the Kane hate could die down a bit, because Kane still has a cool character that, oh, these fucking black slacks just fucking killing this guy. Whenever he pulls this mask out, he is going to be one of the most over baby faces they could ever hope to have right now, because there's not too many people in the crowd are getting mine. I think I saw someone post either in our Mega Maniacs group or maybe it was somewhere else where they noted that right now Randy Orton seems like one of the most over guys in the company. He's not fucking doing anything.
I suppose that speaks for his staying power, but fuck, I couldn't give a shit about Randy Orton if you couldn't tell from my little review earlier.
No, but I mean, you listen to the crowd. They're still going apeshit for him.
Women love him. He doesn't do anything overly offensive to make anyone hate him.
Yeah, he's kind of like this safe, like, this sounds really, really mean to say, especially given the climate, but the kind of thing where, like, he's been there long enough that he's always going to get cheered this much.
Like, you know what?
You know, Jimmy Snuka comes out, people are like, oh, fuck, it's Jimmy Snuka. And it's like, yeah, who gives a shit, really, though, if he wasn't a legend? And Randy Orton is in that kind of position right now where it's like, oh, it's Randy Orton. He's a big famous guy from this for, you know, the past 20 years or whatever the hell. Like, what, he's been 9 years he's been in the company, I think. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But what's he been doing lately?
He's good to just throw out there, let him do an RKO, the fans pop, and he gets to shake around insanely.
Now, is Kane going to be able to fall back into that spot?
I think so.
Kane can do whatever the fuck he wants. That's a guy that's got unlimited staying power, regardless of what he's doing. I mean, if you look back on his career, he's done everything from comedy to Monster Heel to...
Dentistry.
He's really done it all.
He's done impressions. He's been all over the place.
Malibu Kane. I mean, don't forget those days.
Concessions Kane, you know. He was on Hard Times. He had to pick up some extra work on the side.
Diesel Kane.
So, yeah, he has staying power, and I think he'll fit into that role fine. I like what they did all night, where they're teasing all the potential different opponents for Seth Rollins, and they did it with Kane again tonight, so I'm glad they're doing the slow burn.
Slow burn.
Yeah, I just realized that.
I think that on purpose. I was going to be like, oh, damn, that was a good one. Way to go.
I mean, yeah. I'm good.
So let me go ahead and just say what this is all leading up to. At the end of the night, the Authority is out to the ring to announce the new challenger for Seth Rollins' WWE title. Seth Rollins comes out and says to the Authority, I'm ready. I could face anybody you want to, and I will make you proud of me. Well, Triple H, you know, he's happy to hear that, but he quickly turns into serious mode and tells Seth Rollins that the pressure is on. He made some kind of allegory to a fucking piece of charcoal or something. Cue Brock Lesnar's music. Brock Lesnar comes out to the ring. He's staring right through Seth Rollins standing in front of him. Seth Rollins takes slow steps backwards, kind of like the Kool-Aid guy after he bursts through the wrong wall. Walks out of the ring, and Brock Lesnar just stands there dominantly. No words were needed, and Brock Lesnar just looked like a total beast. Never really even had to raise a finger. This guy is just a league of his own.
I fucking loved this segment, and I think it was the best thing on this card. Damn, he has such a presence, and Seth did such a good job here. The whole shaking in the spot, looking towards the ropes, but quickly looking back in case Brock did something, and timidly getting out of there. Brock sold it like a champ too, so the whole thing just gelled perfectly together. Fucking Seth is awesome. And when Triple H is going for his spiel of who it's not going to be, I'm like, huh, I guess it could be Brock Lesnar. And the more he talked, it's like, oh, maybe it is Brock Lesnar. It's Brock Lesnar.
See, based on the pictures I was seeing going around, I thought it was going to be China.
Ugh. No, I'm pretty sure if it was China, it wouldn't be Seth Rollins beating her up. It would be Triple H, apparently.
Oof. Ugh.
Boy. Well, that match is made official for WWE Battleground for the WWE title. Seth Rollins defending it against Brock Lesnar one-on-one. And seems like they're going to be upholding this thing about Seth Rollins having to go at it alone. No backup from J&J, no backup from Kane, unless the story is going to be over the next few weeks, him trying to recruit them back. I don't know. Looks like it's going to be hard times for Seth Rollins.
I have no idea what they're going to do for this match, and that's awesome. It's a great selling point. Hopefully we don't get some type of fuck finish. And I think whatever happens, this feud's going to be extended right until SummerSlam. So,
yeah, based on Brock Lesnar's schedule that they're showing, he is booked to be at pretty much every Raw all the way up to SummerSlam, and not to forget the July 4th special from Japan.
Ah, I've heard that's noted as Kofi Kingston's funeral.
Yeah, Tony, you might want to get him off your team. Didn't we like agree something about like if a person dies, it's 300 points?
I'll risk it. Tomorrow's a new day.
Any other thoughts about this Brock Lesnar situation? Oh, we wanted to talk about his shirt. He had a shirt on Suplex City. It was made like an exit sign for a highway, and it actually said Cleveland, Ohio on it, which was the city they're in. And if they're actually going to go through the effort of like limited edition printing these shirts for each city that they're in, that's awesome. They don't really do limited runs like that. The last time I really remember them doing that is when CM Punk first came out with the Best of the World shirt.
And all those douchebags bought them on eBay for hundreds of dollars, and then WWE the next week releases it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
What fucking retards. I fucking love that shit.
The only thing that was different is the ones for the Chicago, like said Chicago and had a date on it or some shit, but it was literally the same fucking shirt.
It was great. Oh yeah, what I liked about Brock Lesnar, the exit number was F5.
Ah, yeah. I didn't notice that at first. I noticed that like towards the end of it. Little details on it like that.
I noted he still has his Jimmy John's sponsor because the back of his one had the Jimmy John's logo. I doubt the one for sale is going to have that.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. It'd be really weird if it did. I don't even know. I don't think I would get it if it did.
I would. I really love Jimmy John's.
You have mentioned that before. Well, all you out there, tell us what you think about the return of Brock Lesnar to challenge Seth Rollins. Tell us what you think about Jimmy John's. Spread the word about whatever you got to say about all the situation going down. Most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show on megapowersradio.com. We're going to go ahead and get the phone lines opened up. If you want to get yourself on, dial in with your cell or landline, whatever you're using. Area code 760-512-7247. Is a number to dial. Of course, the chat room is still open. Shout out to all the cats in there. Looks like we got someone new, P0420. Maybe they've been here before. I don't know. I'm always bad with that. I always think people are new, and everyone's like, no, they've been here for like 3 weeks. Anyone going to correct me on this? Is this guy new?
I don't recognize him, but I didn't recognize the first 419 either.
I like the 420 part.
Yeah, I think he's starting a feud with Ferris for the 419, 420 thing.
Oh. See, I was going to say, I thought it was like one of these new exercise programs.
Like Insanity, PO 420,
X90 or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, I think PO 420 is Rob Van Dam's version of it.
So you stretch and then you smoke.
But don't stretch too much, man.
No, you got to shrug and then you smoke.
Oh, gosh.
That was a slow burn.
And of course, you guys can also join us via Twitter at Raw Post Show and the Mega Maniacs Facebook group. What else did we have go on tonight? We had we already said Sheamus versus Dean Ambrose. I'm not going to bring that up again. R-Truth versus Wade Barrett. R-Truth doing this imitation King. I think he's called King What's Up. He comes out to do commentary, and then followed up by Wade Barrett. But Truth doesn't realize that he's actually supposed to be in the match. This is going to be like his new thing, I guess, where he just doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing. He just comes out and it's like, oh, you're supposed to be in this or you're not supposed to be in that. Hey, it's something for R-Truth to do, whatever the fuck. Wade Barrett getting a win here, which is also a good thing to see, too. Guy has really been down on his luck. I think he... Oh, no, R-Truth won again. What am I saying? Wade Barrett's bad luck continues.
It's funny. The more I talk about the show and look back at it, I actually feel more positive about it. I forgot about the segment, and it was a lot of fun. R-Truth, for the amount of shit we gave him for, what the fuck's he in this match? And... what the fuck's he in this match? Everything that he's been doing has been golden. I mean, when he came back with the stealing the IC title, it was funny as fuck. And now he's stealing gimmicks? I'm fine with this. This is fucking great television.
To be fair, though, I think it's funny that we were sitting there going, why the fuck is he in this match? Why the fuck is he in this match? And now his gimmick is, wait the fuck, I'm in this match?
Wait, I'm like, not in this one? Our oh, I'm gimmick. In this one. It's great. I'm fucking loving R-Truth right now.
It's a really entertaining character. I love this a lot.
And he has such evolution, too. It's great.
Well, I was just about to say, I'm curious what the limit with this is, because I can't imagine that it's very far. So this is really going to test their creativity of the R-Truth character, if this is something they're going to push with this.
Yeah, then he'll probably go back into obscurity for another year until he finds something else weird to do.
I still say he can run with the spiders thing.
Yeah, spiders have got a lot of actual potential with it. I wish they'd run more with it.
I bet he could make like a whole like stable of people who hate spiders.
Do you ever bring up the idea of like El Torito dressed up as a spider?
Oh, the payoff could be fucking Tajiri comes in and puts him in the tarantula.
Or Ric Flair can come back as the Black Spider. Oh, no, he's the Black Scorpion.
Wait, wasn't AJ's finisher called the Black Widow? No, is that someone else's?
No, that was AJ.
Was?
Mm-hmm. Yep, but didn't she take that from somebody? Wasn't it Kenta? Because everybody steals her moves from Kenta.
But she's going to come up with a new finisher and someone's going to jack it like Cena.
And the funny thing is, everybody stole their moves from Kenta, and that, like, everyone's been saying one of Kenta's biggest problems in NXT is that he doesn't have a defined finisher.
Right.
Yeah, because everyone took it.
Everybody took it all. He's sitting there going, like, all right, well, I could use, you know, the GTS if you'd let me, and yeah, I could like use the this one guy if you'd let me.
The one guy that was using his finisher left, and they still won't let him use it.
Poor Kenta.
Well, in this case, the girl left, too. And Daniel Bryan hasn't fucking wrestled in fucking months. Oh, boy. We have Kevin Owens coming out, says that next time he faces John Cena, that he wants the U.S. title to be on the line. Unfortunately, Cena is not in the building to respond or to do his United States Open Challenge. So Kevin Owens instead issues an open challenge of his own. It's answered by Dolph Ziggler. What a fucking disappointment. Dolph Ziggler gets in the ring. He's ready to challenge for the NXT title, but just before the bell rings, Kevin Owens says, oh, nope, sorry. This is not for the title, but you still get to fight me if you want. These guys actually have a pretty good match. I can't hate too much. As much as we're getting really sick of the Dolph Ziggler character, the guy is still one of the best in-ring performers there, as is Kevin Owens. We're going to give our full thoughts about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on the next edition of Smack Talk. I got to say, I'm very disappointed with the booking of WWE. I think Kevin Owens will be okay. They got to keep him going strong, and they got to keep him having great matches like this if he's going to be, though. So, first night afterward, looking good. Hopefully they can keep that up. Dolph Ziggler, do something with your fucking hair and get a new fucking jacket. Your guys' thoughts?
So, as far as the Kevin Owens situation, I'm in agreement that either A, he should have gone over, or it should have gone to a no contest with that powerbomb being the finish. So I'm glad they put him over straight on the next episode of Raw, and they booked him strong. But why did it have to be Dolph Ziggler? Jesus Christ, I don't care about you anymore. You've dangled his potential in my face constantly, and now I've just stopped caring. And in addition to making me not care about Dolph Ziggler anymore, you've dressed him up like a douchebag. It's like, why? I can't say WWE dressed him up like a douchebag, because that's probably his idea, and stop.
I can't defend what Ziggler looks like, but in my mind, Kevin Owens is doing exactly what they should have done. I said before that he should lose the match. I think they're taking the right direction for him now, because he hasn't lost any steam whatsoever. And having him against Dolph Ziggler, yeah, Ziggler's a little bit stale, but he's nowhere near as stale as Randy Orton. And to kind of piggyback of what we said earlier with the Sheamus and Randy Orton thing, at least when Ziggler comes out, I know he's going to have a good match. Randy Orton and Sheamus are a bore. So, yeah, I mean, it could have been somebody more sensational that challenged Kevin Owens, but it was not for the title. And they're not starting a new feud or anything like that, most likely. So, you know, when it comes down to it, Dolph Ziggler comes out. I was thinking to myself, oh, cool, because Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens should have a good match. And that's all we really needed to have. And Kevin Owens won, you know, so he didn't, like, you know, lose tonight, lose last night, and oh my God, they're burying him kind of a thing. And, you know, I'm totally down for this. I thought it was probably the best segment of the entire night, other than some of the non-wrestling things. But in the match itself, that was great. Ziggler's great in the ring. Owens is great in the ring. He looks like a douchebag, but, you know, so do most people. So
one thing I did forget to mention is the whole NXT title being how he took it away last second. I liked that because I know it probably planted a few seeds of doubts in people's mind, like, oh, maybe Dolph will win, but they don't want him to drop the belt. So I think that added just an edge more of mystery to the match. But overall, solid outing, and right man won, so can't complain.
I didn't see as much mystery. I saw that more just being an old school tactic of Kevin Owens getting heat. Kevin Owens basically, like, found the Being Heel for Dummies book. And he's following, like, every little step in that thing.
Yeah, he does so many old school things, and the fact is they shouldn't be old school. People just stop using them, and be it for WWE telling people not to do it, or maybe it's just gotten lost as the last generation died off. But simple things like, beginning of the match, I'm going to go stand outside, because fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple and effective, or someone simply going in to lock up with a guy and then stopping last second.
Do you know what the most basic thing to do to be a heel is? I don't know if I just worded that right. But you know what the most basic thing to do that you have to do to be a heel? You're a wrestler, so I think you might know Wago.
Depends which way you're going with it. The less
hit him with a closed fist international.
There's one basic rule. Say something and then do the opposite.
Lie.
The basic thing. Say one thing and be a hypocrite. That's the number one way, the most basic thing to be heel, and that's Kevin Owens to a T. Saying he's the fighting man, saying that he's a real man and all this, family and all that, and then he's just the biggest sleazeball of anybody.
They like that. It's not that they've never tried to do that attitude before. It's that the fact that they're not very good at treading the line where they turn him into a complete coward. At least with the Kevin Owens character, as opposed to some of the others they've tried similar things with, he can back it up. And you believe that he can kick the fuck out of you. He's just choosing not to because he's a prick.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. Well, Kevin Owens gets the victory here. Dolph Ziggler has no direction, so it's not like he was going to do anything else tonight anyway. I'm just waiting for Rusev to heal, I guess.
Yeah, that's an awkward position for him right now.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame for Lana, too.
Yeah, because Lana's got nothing. Like, she doesn't even have, like, some backstage segment that she can do. She's just coming out there, giving him a smooch, and leaving.
Yeah, she doesn't talk, really, other than one-minute video segments, so...
Oh, man, everyone thought Lana was gonna, like, break out and, like, be the next Sunny or some shit. Like, yeah, that really panned out.
Yeah, fucking,
I mean, it's soon to tell, but, like... it's exactly happening like I thought it would. Lana and Rusev are much better together than apart.
Yeah, I think they're both going to benefit if they just stick those two back together and just pull the old trick you, Dolph.
Hopefully. Well, going on the topic of the Divas, Paige is trying to rally all the Divas together in order to band against the Bellas, but none of them really seem willing to back her up. Paige gets sent out to have a handicap match against the Bella Twins, and... You know how they have hashtags for matches, and usually they're actually something with the match? Well, they cared so little about this actual match that the hashtag for it was Total Divas.
Wow.
So don't actually talk about the match. Talk about the television show that they both happen to do.
How long has this feud been going on and you don't give a fuck about it? It's pathetic.
Paige fights. Really, the match was not horrible. And I gotta say that for their match they had last night, too. I mean, they weren't, like, five-star classics, but they were competitive. They had a few cool spots in them. Paige had a lot of good hope spots in it, but in the end was not able to get the victory. The Bellas were just too much for her. Got the pin. I don't know where they're going with this afterwards. As I've said, I think Nikki's just holding on this title to get that new record. Anything that happens between now and then is just...
You know what annoyed me? It wasn't the match. What? Yeah, I didn't get that over all over.
That's what it was.
It's just the weakest fart in the world.
Yes. It's not even deserving of a strong fart.
Putting aside Diva's wrestling quality for a moment, oh my god, Paige could not cut a promo.
She's stumbling quite a bit.
She's never been good at it. I don't know why everybody goes nuts over her.
Stop talking at them. Talk to them, you fucking... Ugh. It was abysmal. And the sad part is, she's probably one of these people that got promo classes with Dusty Rhodes.
Maybe that's one of the reasons why.
She took up all the bad habits
and that's it.
I definitely remember when they were doing the 10 bell salute, she was one of the people who seemed the most torn up about it. She was crying and everything.
I gotta say, this total side note, I think the person that looked the most upset out of everybody was Renee Young.
Oh, yeah.
She spent a lot of time with Dusty. I mean, you gotta remember, it's how many of those Legends panels did they have, like, prior to a pay-per-view?
And I think she grew up on him a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. And she was in NXT for so long, she must have worked a lot with him.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, she could just be more sentimental.
That's true.
But Paige is really, really terrible at this kind of stuff. And this whole gimmick that they're giving her right now is just, oh, man, I don't think anybody would be able to pull that off, especially not Paige, because Paige is not the rally the troops type of character anyway. And they've tried to kind of get around that by being like, yeah, I'm not the best for this. And it's like, yeah, you're not. So fucking knock it off.
Here's the issue with Paige. She gets a lot. She gets let off a little. Well, Stephen Speaks take two. She gets so much leeway with the wrestling fans because she's such a good wrestler.
You want to take three?
Yeah. I'm really having a hard time here. Hard times. Hard times is when Stephen Wago can't cut a promo. Hard times is when he can't do a podcast.
So she gets a lot of leeway because of her wrestling skills? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Tony. So I'm calling her out. Fuck you. Learn to cut a promo. You're not that good. We shit on the Bellas because they sound awful when they cut a promo. She's just as bad.
Hell, I'd argue that Nikki Bella did a better job tonight than Paige did.
Yep, and that ain't saying much.
I don't even think Brie said anything, and she did a better fucking job at that promo.
I know she said Brebo during the match.
Yeah, which made the fans pump. So.
She did. What the fuck?
Maybe people really like going Brebo.
Actually, if you were listening to the way the commentators were talking throughout the match, it almost sounded like they were trying to vilify Paige.
They don't know what they want with this. I'm starting to think that they totally don't care about heels and faces with the Divas division. I think they're just trying to make them all imperfect assholes.
Didn't somebody say that before?
I don't remember saying it, but maybe somebody did.
No, I mean somebody like in WWE, like didn't somebody actually say that they had said there's no heels and faces in the Divas division?
They're all just bad bitches.
Yeah, they're all just bitches and catty, and that's why they fight each other. Like, I think somebody actually legitimately said that. Like it was
probably Booker T on commentary.
You know these women, you know,
they all be catty.
You know what I'm saying, Renee? She's just like, the fuck.
You know what actually this whole situation reminds me of is a lot of you people who are fans of it, Orange is the New Black. New season just came out a few days ago. All these divas banding together and having these catty attitudes and all that, it just felt like something out of that.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you've not watched Orange is the New Black yet, go check it out. This season is fucking dark.
Yeah.
It's like this show, but good.
Well, we have a Kane versus Randy Orton match.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm sure we're excited to get into this one. Sheamus interferes. Kane ends up making the match a no disqualification match, which allowed Sheamus to come in, hit Randy Orton with a bro kick. Kane gets the quick pin. 1, 2, 3. That's really all we got to say about that, I'm sure. Yeah. All right. Big Show versus The Miz with Ryback on commentary, who was just so fun to listen to. He was just all smiling, cracking jokes, being so positive. I take these negatives and I eat them up and I spit out positive. Fucking, I love this guy.
I love Ryback.
Yeah, there's a comment he made which I actually kind of liked. He's just a genuinely nice guy because he's like, The Miz. Yeah, we know what he can do when he concentrates and focuses on one thing. He didn't just shit on him. He just gave him his due credit. But I like Ryback. He's ultra positive. It's fun.
I'd like to apologize for all the people that have worked on him in movies and stuff. He actually had a great line tonight, too. It was like a total Ryback line where it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but at the same time, you could picture Ryback saying that, and that's, you've got Miz all over me.
Yeah, he threw him on him. You think he would be pissed, but he like cracks a joke. He's like, oh, you got Miz all over me.
I love how when they're like, how JBL's like, all right, next time you throw Miz, can you make sure it's at the Spanish announce table? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Like, that's the type of shit where like, how we picture Ryback doing like those like lame jokes and stuff, like the thing where it's like, oh, you got mustard on your shirt, and then you take your finger and, you know, do that up to somebody's nose. It's like, oh, you got Miz all over your shirt. Ah, I got you. Ryback's the man.
You got Miz all in my Ryback. Well, you got your Ryback in my Miz. The fight went outside the ring. That's when Big Show threw Miz onto Ryback, as we were just talking about. This causes Ryback and Big Show to get into each other's face, giving Miz the opportunity to sneak back into the ring to beat the count out. Big Show losing via count out. Miz celebrating his victory, and this little triangle feud we got going here continues. Very interesting. I'm liking the way that they're keeping the three of these guys involved with each other.
I enjoy Miz's career. He goes away, comes back for an IC title match. Goes away, comes back for an IC title match. Sometimes he wins it. It's fun. I don't see too
and,
much of them.
And then he gets to go home and bang Maurice.
Yeah, I know.
What he's a got, fucking like, life.
He's
what
made. Fuck? I just enjoy Miz, like, because they do him in small doses this way. Every time he comes back, I actually get interested in him. And before he gets stale and annoying again, he goes away. It's fantastic.
I've been a fan of Miz since his ECW days. And really, I mean, this guy's great. And Big Show and him and Ryback doing this feud, it's not perfect. I mean, I'll kind of complain about Money in the Bank later on this week. But I do like the idea of this dynamic where it's kind of like, it, oddly enough, like the Big Show is playing like the big guy, but he's like the dumb one, sort of. And then you've got Ryback, who's like the other big guy, but not as big. He looks small compared to Big Show, but he's still so much bigger than the Miz. And Miz is like the smart one out of the fucking group. And it's a really odd mixture of three people. Like, I wouldn't have pictured a couple months ago if you would have been like, all right, what are they going to be doing around SummerSlam time? To be like, all right, well, Miz, Ryback, and Big Show, what a triple threat. Be like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? But I like it. I like this trio.
You know what would be cool? If they paired these three guys together, like as a stable.
What would we call them?
Oh, fuck, dude.
The big guys and Miz.
Raisho Miz.
I'm really trying there.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm excited to see that continue. Hopefully it ends with Ryback still holding on to this title, though. He still hasn't gotten to have his successful title defense as he was hoping to have last night, but he'll get that. Roman Reigns comes out to call out Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt appears on the Titantron and actually kind of speaks sense. It was so refreshing. I understood almost every line that Bray Wyatt was saying throughout this entire thing. He actually had a good motive for attacking Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank last night, which is because Roman Reigns cost him his chance to get into that match when Roman Reigns had to put that opportunity on the line last week in the main event of Raw. So, holy shit, it's not just like, oh, Ryback used to lift weights, so now I hate him. It's like actually a fucking reason. He pokes reference to the fatherhood commercial that they played of Roman Reigns earlier having tea with his daughter, which was just fucking adorable. So it brought a sense of realism and personalness, is that a word, into this. It was really great. I'm actually on board with this. You got to keep Roman Reigns going strong, and for one reason or another, Bray Wyatt's a guy that they keep trying to position as someone high up, so cool. I'm curious who wins at the end of this, but I guess that's the fun of watching it. What do you guys got to say?
I have a few positives and a few negatives. The positives are Bray Wyatt cut a promo that made sense. For all I know, the last few promos he's been cutting, he could have just been going, fish gerbil cabbage man, and I wouldn't have known the fucking wiser. But with what he's been doing tonight, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the reference that to the fatherhood commercial. It made it seem more personal. It was kind of one of those, oh, you don't do that type of things. So that was sweet. And Bray was on point tonight. It makes a change. Unfortunately, these two have to wrestle, so that's going to take the fun out of it.
First off, let me say, worst superhero ever, fish gerbil cabbage man. He ain't saving shit. Second, I really hope that Bray Wyatt doesn't start taking the whole, he's got the whole world in his hands, and apply that to I'm a Little Teapot and start singing that shit.
Oh, God.
That better not happen. Well. If that happens, maybe that's the outro of the next week. I don't know. But
maybe it is anyway. That's the next three outros.
We'll even get a special one from Fish Gerbil Cabbage Man to sing it. I kind of like this pairing. I kind of don't. I'm disappointed that this is a feud that's going to happen. But as you said, it's far better already than anything that Bray Wyatt's been doing. You know, it makes so much more sense. And it really, like, it didn't take much for it to make sense, which kind of proves that the other ones were just so poorly made that they didn't put any effort into it whatsoever. Like, this essentially boils down to, we had a match, you won, now I'm pissed. The basic thing that you can possibly ever do in wrestling, and Bray Wyatt made it where it's, you know, upgraded. He goes and wrestles Ryback a couple months ago, whatever, and it's like, you know, what the fuck is this about? I don't know, because these two got to do something, so you go out there and do it. So,
with no foresight ahead, because if they did, they probably should have had Ryback win that going into his Intercontinental win.
Right.
Yep.
Or they could have been like Bray Wyatt could have been in the Intercontinental Elimination Chamber match or something, like anything like that. But I'm kind of looking forward to it. It's something where they're going to have to prove me right or wrong, depending on my position at the time. Like now, I guess I would lean more towards, okay, this is good. But if I start thinking about it a lot, and I think about how like it could be a terrible match and stuff, then they're going to have to prove me wrong. They're going to have a good match out there. And I really, really don't want to see what we saw with Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho, where they do this match at Battleground, and then we just have another rematch at SummerSlam. SummerSlam should not be booked as the rematch card. So if that's with Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins, and it's the same with Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns, don't do it. And if you're not going to do a rematch, why are you doing it at Battleground anyway? You know?
I can agree with that. One thing I just wanted to point out tonight, as far as the negative goes about this segment, Roman Reigns still really needs to work on delivery of his lines. He sounded so awkward. He's not the guy that should be screaming angrily because he doesn't know how to do it. He's that guy that can say something quiet but intensely, and it works a lot better. So Roman Reigns still needs to find himself. I don't always notice because of the roles they put him in, especially recently, how he's just been buddy-buddy with Ambrose. But tonight he showed a couple of weaknesses again.
I want to address something Silent Wind of Doom dropped in the chat room here. And he's saying, quoting out of Bray Wyatt's speech, he says, "Was the choice of saviors the wrong one picked, referring to the public's reaction to Reigns being pushed as the future? Or did Bray have a rival in whatever crazy cult upbringing he had and Bray rising was the wrong choice?" No, I'm pretty sure what Bray was referring to that whole part of his speech was actually to Daniel Bryan.
Daniel
Bryan was the people's choice that they decided to push rather than Bray Wyatt, who got slotted into a match where he lost with John Cena.
I kind of got the impression it was Daniel Bryan, too.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, he beat Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Daniel Bryan's not doing anything right now, so WWE might as well be like, hey, fuck that guy.
That's exactly why they made the wrong choice. They put all this investment into Bryan, and he's gotten injured twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they would have gone through the effort of, like, pushing Roman Reigns instead of Daniel Bryan around that Royal Rumble time, maybe we'd be in a different position right now.
People would hate Roman Reigns even more.
Well, they were cheering for him when Rey Mysterio came out.
Yeah, because instead of the, hey, that's the guy that fucked Daniel Bryan, it'll be, hey, that's the guy that fucked Batista.
Yeah, see, you could see that you're smiling when you said that.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's like, fuck Dave.
I'm going to skip this segment because it's probably the thing we're going to have the most fun talking about. We had a six-man tag of Neville and the Primetime Players against the New Day. Not much to report here. Neville gets the pin after the Red Arrow. One thing that always bothered me is whenever babyfaces team together, whenever they win, they always got to like hug each other like they're best fucking friends. Like, I don't picture Neville and Primetime Players having anything in common.
Last night when we were watching the pay-per-view, the pre-show part where they're, you know, people are still like entering the arena and stuff like that, I was just like, wait a minute, who is, oh shit, that's fucking Neville. He looks like a goddamn member of the Geek Squad. And it's like, if you've got little Ben Slattery there and Titus O'Neil and fucking Darren Young and stuff, it's like, what the hell would these three guys have in common?
Imagine them in a car together. What do they talk about?
Right. Yeah, so what music do you like? Oh, completely different music than me. Okay. Well, did you guys see that movie? Oh, you watch other movies than I do. Well, what's your workout regimen? Oh.
Oh, you fucking do all these like crazy, like bendy, weird shit. I just fucking lift weights.
Here's the thing. I don't see him being the type of guy that'd ever hang out with them. He's the type of guy that probably carpools with Tyson Kidd and Cesaro.
I could see that.
No, I actually picture Neville being the weird guy who has to do everything alone. He probably smells kind of funny.
He's like, got what the hell are those cars that look like they're just like the front half of a car?
A smart car.
Oh, dude, he's like, he's Curtis Axel's road buddy.
Like, for real?
Yeah, No. He's definitely going to be Curtis Axel. No one wants to ride with that guy.
Damien Sandow.
I actually picture Curtis Axel being a very likable guy.
I could see him being the kind of a pain in the ass, though, at the same time. Like, he's the guy that, like, you have no problem with, but you don't want to hang around.
Like, for the guy who always wants to make, like, stops at the Arby's.
He wanted a team with, he wanted a team with Ryback. I think that kind of puts you into perspective.
That'd be great. Hey, yo, guys, there's an Arby's. You guys want to stop? No, Curtis. We just did that at the other town. Yeah, but it's Arby's, guys. Come on.
You guys hungry? We could get some Arby's.
Ryback used to be hungry.
Ryback was always hungry. You guys suck.
Meanwhile, in the other car, there's Primetime Players and Neville, and they're like, well, what else do we have in common? We won that match together.
Yeah, good times.
You guys want to get some? Want to get some Arby's? No, we'd rather get some Popeyes.
Jeez. Why is Neville wanting Popeyes?
Oh, gosh. So let's talk about what was probably one of the most fun segments of the night. Machine Gun Kelly coming out to perform. And no, I'm not talking about his music performance because that was fucking awful. Although I got to say, Naomi was a lot better of a singer than I would have pictured her being.
Did you think she was saying that she wanted ice cream?
I did think she
I walked away when this started and I could hear in the background. I just, you know, like went to go get something in the kitchen and my TV's loud enough that I could hear it. And I was just like, is she singing I Want Ice Cream? Like, is this this fucking theme song?
Yeah, you're in the kitchen. You're like, should I bring ice cream back?
I literally made sure that I had ice cream. I'm going to eat some Chipwiches later because this fucking song just kept being like, I like ice cream. Ice cream's fucking great. Ice cream for ice cream. And like fucking Mr. Softy theme is his new song or something.
And they had to know because they had the fucking lyrics playing up on the screen. I never seen them do that with a fucking musical artist before.
It's a shame they didn't have that little bouncing ball.
I couldn't understand a word which any of those fuckers were singing.
You mean at the beginning of it where he was like, yo, 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 Cleveland, yo, yo.
He sounded like he had a distortion on his voice. Like he was going through a distortion pedal. He was
he sounded like he was trying to do one of my takes when I wanted to talk about the Divas.
Ferris, you haven't heard of Machine Gun Kelly before he was announced on Raw? He only performed at WrestleMania before, dude.
Yeah, but
even if you're just a wrestling fan, you should at least know that.
I tried to block that segment out myself.
Oh, well, no, it was great because he was fucking booed off the stage.
Yeah, that was the best part.
Well, he wasn't booed off this time, probably because they used the copious amounts of pyro to keep the crowd excited throughout this. Like, the pyro had to go off like 4 or 5 times throughout a set.
It's like, they're booing again. Hit the pyro button.
I've never seen them set off like in the middle of a song before. But it's like, yeah, the crowd's sitting on their hands, but better set off the pyro again. Oh shit, we almost got fucking Machine Gun Kelly that time. Anyway, he finished his performance. He goes to slap hands with some of the people in the front rows of the crowds, and as he's going back to the top of the stage, who's there clapping for him but Kevin Owens. Machine Gun Kelly goes for a pound with Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens is like, nah. They exchange some words, can't really tell what they says. And here's the key thing. Machine Gun Kelly thinks he's a freaking badass and shoves Kevin Owens and goes to turn around. So then when Kevin Owens pulls Machine Gun Kelly back, kicks him, and then lifts him up, power bombs him off of the stage, I'm like, good. This guy just did a terrible fucking performance, taking up time on Monday Night Raw. Then one of the wrestlers is out there. He disrespects him, shoves him. He gets what he fucking deserves.
Yeah, right.
I don't fucking feel bad for Machine Gun Kelly here. I'm happy for Kevin Owens.
I want to give him props for taking that powerbomb bump. Not so much that he took the bump, that he sold getting picked up for that powerbomb more than anyone on the fucking roster did.
It's because he's so, like, lanky and he was just, like, twitching all over the place.
Because most guys, they'll just be like, yeah, I've got a seat. Oh, now I'm on my back. He's fucking looking around like, oh, shit, I'm going to get dropped. I'm going to get dropped. Oh, fuck. It was cool. It looked rough and awkward, but it made the move seem so much more legit.
See, I thought he legit was just like scared shitless because I thought he legit had no idea because he had no idea how to like go through the move, so he probably didn't have like a secure holding while he was up there. So he was probably like, fuck, what's gonna happen?
Well, by plus way, he knows he's going through a goddamn table. You know what I mean? Like. Well, somebody told me to do that, I'd be like, fuck, I'm going to a fucking table.
What I want to know is, what's the practicality of them having a giant memory foam mattress set up next to the stage?
Very likely.
Well, they had to put more padding out there ever since Lana took that huge spill.
Oh, okay. I see. OSHA came in, laid down the law. They're like, listen, we know you got a famous person coming next week. Anything can happen. They foresaw this.
Man, I want Kevin Owens to just keep doing this. Like, if they bring back the NASCAR people, he gets in the car, fucking runs one of them over.
Oh, no. Bring back those bitches who had the wine.
The wine? Oh, fucking...
the one that broke Kathy the Lee fucking Gifford bubble and, on her ass.
Hoda, I think her name is.
Yeah, Hodor? That sounds right. Hodor. Now, let's get Hodor on the show. That would be even better. They already had fucking Mountain.
Oh, my God. Just think what he could do to Snoop Dubs.
Snoop Dubs.
It's a like great celebrity list. We've got
Snoop Dogg and Lou Dobbs.
Snoop Dopp and Hodor and Gordon Lightfoot or whatever he called him tonight. What was the thing that he called him? Tommy Gordon something?
Shotgun Gordon.
Shotgun Gordon. That's right. Yeah.
I think Snoop Dubb might be my favorite mispronunciation.
Snoop Dogg.
This was awesome.
And with that, guys, I think we got pretty much everything we got to say about Raw. And any final thoughts before we get to the last bits here?
No, I think I'm good.
Commercials weren't fucking horrible for once either, so tonight was a lot more tolerable.
Oh, so you know what? Actually, before we do the good, bad, and ugly, I actually wanted to do a new segment tonight. This is actually something we've done before, but we never just like acknowledged it as a segment. I want to have my favorite commercial of the night. My favorite commercial of the night was actually an anti-smoking ad.
Yes.
Usually these are the absolute worst commercials throughout the night with like the person like peeling their skin off their face or like the person with their foot being cut off. But they actually had a really clever one tonight where it's like these two girls, they're in the bleachers, and the one girl is like, hey, you want to smoke? And the girl's like, no, I can't. And the girl's like, oh, why? Because it's filled with all these like nasty, disgusting toxins and stuff. And the girl's like, no, it's because my fingers are in love and they can't be separated. And they have like little drawings on it. And it's like, oh, you know, that's cute. That's clever. And then they step it up with the girl's like, well, use your other hand. She's like, what? I can't break up Death Maggot. She pulls up her hand and she starts like headbanging with her hand. And then there's like 2 seconds of silence. And then the girl who was smoking starts headbanging together. And it's like, oh, so that's how you prevent smoking.
I didn't see that one.
So. It was fucking great. But I can't give you my favorite one since you already said it. So can I give you my worst commercial of the night?
Oh, sure.
The new colonel for fucking KFC. Every one of his commercials are awful. Jesus Christ.
Wait, they have a new colonel?
Yeah.
Daryl Hammond from SNL is playing Colonel Sanders.
Like the one where he sung on it last, like I think it was played last week. That was terrible. This one was better this week, but the guy fucking sucks.
It's like, please buy my chicken. We need the money. And you're like, it's
why are they broke?
Why are they redoing all these like fast food stars? Like they did Ronald McDonald's, and I guess they did the Colonel.
They got the rapist Hamburglar.
I was gonna say, have you seen the new Hamburglar?
Yeah,
he's fucking ridiculous.
Well, it seems like the new Colonel's a fucking rapist too. The way that he's looking at everybody, it's really awkward.
Yeah, and he shakes weird when he talks. It's like he can't do that voice without shaking.
Silent with the Doom is surprised. That's Hammond?
Yeah. That's Daryl Hammond. I would have to say, though, my favorite commercial of the night is the one that I mentioned before. The same one about Carl's Jr. or whatever, where it's just like, we've put chips and hot dogs and burgers and other fucking animals on this because of America. You know, fucking awesome. And there's fireworks and fucking Statue of Liberty. And it's just like, here you go. Here's the glutton sandwich or whatever the fuck they're calling it. Very cool. I want one.
All right, well, let's head into the last special thing we got here, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show was, what the most boring part of the show was, and what the most just awful part of the show was. So let me ask you guys, the chat room, you can put in your good, bad, and uglies too, by the way, but let's get started with the hosts. Wago, what was your good, bad, and ugly?
So for my good, I have to go with Brock Lesnar's return. Every time he comes back, it's a huge deal. There's not enough good things I could say about that segment, so I'll leave it at that. As far as the bad goes... And both segments of Randy Orton and Sheamus, I could not give a fuck about those two. Please get off my television. Do something innovative. I just want something different. It's the same shit.
Week in, week out.
Yeah, I want to sound like that guy, but it really is with these two. They're done.
However.
However. So, damn, we don't have my bell. So for my ugly, it's going to have to go to Paige's promo skills.
Ooh.
Don't shout at me. Go away. Scary pale lady.
Well then, Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
I'm going to have very similar, but I'm going to have a different good here. That's going to be Kevin Owens. Not only just his match with Dolph Ziggler, but the Machine Gun Kelly segment. Both things awesome. Kevin Owens is just kicking ass left and right. Just easily my favorite person that they have on the roster right now. And it's in the ring. It's promos. It's backstage interviews. It's everything. This guy is just hitting a nail on the head. The bad's going to be the Sheamus and Randy Orton stuff. I'm so sick and tired of it. Same as what Wego had said. And the ugly, of course, the Divas pep speech that went nowhere backstage because it's just so fucking bad.
All right. Well, from my good, bad, and ugly, my good, I want to give to Heath Slater. Pops in for a little bit moment, but they cut backstage. And, like, as soon as they cut back, you see him with Shotgun Kelly, and he's all excited, like, yeah, woo, Shotgun Gordon, bang, just all rocking out. And then at the end of that segment, there's a part where Paige comes in, says she's going to text them, and Heath Slater's like, all right, she's going to text us. This great times with Heath Slater. Put this guy on TV more. My bad, I am also going to give to the Sheamus and Randy Orton feud continuing. Please just get through this quickly. Just get this Band-Aid done with. And the ugly, I have to give to the Machine Gun Kelly performance up to the ending. The performance itself, just no place on Raw. No place. Grab one quickly out of the chat room here. Silent Wounded Doom says, I guess these are from Money in the Bank. Good, the return of Paige's sexy pinning, even though it didn't work. Bad, Cole didn't tell Lawler that Ringo's not dead. And ugly, right at the beginning of the title match, Seth threw Dean through the ropes, and he actually fell.
I don't know if you just did that deliberately, but you said right. I think I've infected your way of speaking.
Did I?
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, what's up, kitty?
God damn it, Sheamus.
Sheamus?
Your cat feuding with Randy Orton.
Your cat!
In between eating the blinds, yes.
All right, let's get things over and done with here. Let's do some announcements of other things we got. Tony, what else you got?
All right, guys, check out Smark Out Moment and the Smack Talk podcast and everything going on there. We will be doing our full review of Money in the Bank later on this week. We've got a contest for Money in the Bank month where you can win a free Ted DiBiase t-shirt. I'm picking up a Wego thing here.
A free TV? Holy shit.
You get a free TV, yeah.
I really stepped up the contest.
All you have to do to possibly win that free t-shirt, not TV, is share a bunch of our links and follow our accounts and stuff like that. So go to smarkoutmoment.com for more information on that. For fanboysanonymous.com, the geek culture side of things, we've got all those podcasts like Jurassic World and whatnot. Later on this month, we're going to be at the Too Many Games convention. So if anybody's in the Oaks, PA area on June 26th, for any reason whatsoever, I'm assuming probably for that.
It's obscure town.
Yeah. If you happen to be in that area or whatever like that and you didn't plan on going, but you want to come and see us, we're going to be doing a panel. So you guys can, you know, talk with us and shit. And the All Talk Show might end up having some random episodes as always. So follow the All Talk Show and all the different avenues that you can find there. And that'll do it for me.
All right, Wego, what you got to say?
All right, if you want to head over to StephenWego.com, that'll get you to all my links and ongoing projects. So you can find my Facebook, my Twitter, my SoundCloud, iTunes, yada, 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 StephenWego.com.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed listening to this edition of the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. And if you did, please join us every single Monday following Raw right here on MegaPowersRadio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. However, if you cannot join us live, which is the best way to join us, but if you're busy, you can find us in a number of ways to listen to us on demand. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. I just recently got us onto TuneIn Radio and actually a few other obscure little podcast directories. So who knows? If you listen to podcasts in some other form, you might be able to find us on there. And when you do find us, subscribe to us, rate us, and review us, because the more you do that for us, the higher we can climb and get new fans coming to us. And the conversation continues all throughout the week. We have Twitter @RawPostShow and the official Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. That's facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. And the best way you can support us is by finding us on Patreon at patreon.com/MegaPowersRadio, where you can support us for as little as $1 a month. Just $1. Help us continue going, because Blog Talk Radio is trying to bleed us dry. Not going to let them do it. We're going to survive, and we can do it with your help. So head to patreon.com/MegaPowersRadio.
Don't give them any more fucking money.
Yeah, don't give Blog Talk Radio any fucking money. They've already taken enough.
Wow, I'm fucking everybody's speech up tonight.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to get out of here. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. For Steven Wago, for Tony Mango, I'm Mike Payton. We'll catch you on the flip-flop on Mega Powers Radio's Raw Post Show.